This is the Closet Geek, episode 125 for July 21st, 2016.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek in Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own.
Hello, Closet Geek. We are our people, fellow Closet Geek listeners. Man, I'm just off the hinge. It's been a while.
Fail. Wait. Ready? And take two.
Hello, welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out. The podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek to bring you the latest in geeky news. We are your hosts. I am Barry, and tonight we have Ryan and Michael. Yay! Woo! No John tonight. He is working. So, that happens. So, yeah. What's up, guys?
Hey! Man, it's been a crazy week.
Yes. I can imagine. Michael had a baby, so congratulations! Yay!
It was a miracle. I don't know how it happened, but, you know, I am the first male to have a child.
He birthed it from his loins.
So, My wife had a child. Yes. So it was a very interesting weekend, but that's just one of the many fun things that have occurred. So
yeah. That's awesome. So let's go to our first segment of the show.
This week in geek.
This is This Week in Geek, where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, things we love, and things we could recommend for you guys to check out. So, gentlemen. Ryan, why don't we start with you this week? What did you do, geeky?
I ate sriracha fried rice.
I guess that could be geeky.
No, I just ate it, so my tongue is burning. Let's see.
Flames.
Well, this week, I received my loot crate.
Ooh,
and
fancy.
I wanted to do an unboxing right here on the Closet Geek.
Yes.
What?
Bonus for you, Twitch people in the chat room or watching it on YouTube or Twitch after the fact we record it. Audio people, you'll still get the entertaining audio part of it.
So aside from Loot Crate, I've been working all week at my new
sniff.
It's the hot sauce.
The spicy sniff. Yeah. Spicy sniffs.
I've been working all week at my new place of employment.
Yes.
Making
Hex Mortis. Thank you.
And he's working on stuff that he can't even tell us about. Hex Mortis.
Yes. Well, that's just the one thing. But most of the stuff I can tell you about. I'm making props for the new MacGyver show.
Cool.
Not all the props. I mean, they've got like several prop companies working for it.
You're doing a specific stuff.
One of the many. We're making a little rocket. I wasn't involved in it, but they made a fake bomb box. I made a couple, assisted in making some little pendants for the characters in the show. And today I spent all my day polishing little tiny appliques that will go on to swords, vampire killing swords.
Ooh,
vampire
for the
swords.
Show, The Originals.
Oh.
It's one of the Vampire Diary spinoffs.
Cool.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. Just prop making crazy.
Now, are the swords going to be actual metal or something else?
Well, it's technically just one sword, but we made three of them. One is a real sword, one's a rubber sword, and one's a fake stabby in your sword.
Nice.
fake stabby in your sword.
Nice.
Right. Got it.
Those are the best kind.
Yes, yeah. Yes, they're fine.
Fake stabbies.
So yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty much what I did today.
Are you having fun doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so cool. I mean, the pay is just, you know, it's not amazing. Well, the pay is average.
I'm sure you're getting more than what you level were. Position. Yeah, what you were right. Just doing stuff, so.
Better than zero money.
Yes, better than zero.
But it's not the money that's drawing me. It's the work. I love doing that kind of stuff. I could do that stuff all day. I did that stuff all day in my free time anyway, and now I'm getting paid to do it. So nice. It's
yeah.
Just,
you're getting, yeah.
It's awesome.
It's just there really fun. Loot crate. This is a loot crate box. Most of these boxes are reversible. So when you open it up, you can see this image.
You got futuristic skyline there.
Yeah, you can actually turn your box inside out. So this is how it came.
Ooh.
This is the contents of the box.
Nice.
Immediately we can see a Futurama box. Futurama box. It has, it's the Planet Express ship.
Yeah, it's a little.
Shall I open it?
Oh.
So it's their delivery ship.
It's their delivery ship, and it's a model. Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Something to go on your desk.
Something. Well, it was a model.
It was a model.
It's a little rocket ship.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's got a base.
There you go.
So I'll put that together. I'll put that later. Next, we have, I'll do the shirt.
What do you
here
got?
Is the t-shirt. It's a light blue shirt with green and black printing on it. And it's some weird kind of...
it's like a blueprint for a weapon something. For a freeze ray or something. Oh, it's something. Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
That's what it is. So if you're a Rick and Morty fan, you'd probably recognize what those were.
Yeah, it looks like a gun with a brain. And here's a Mega Man little box.
Yeah, little pop vinyl character.
Probably. Let's see what it looks like on the inside. I lost my knife. The suspense is killing me.
What is it?
Do it!
It could be random. I don't know.
It looks like it's wrapped in an edible bag.
Yeah.
What's it say? I don't know. I can't breathe.
It's popcorn.
That's it's a little cute Mega Man, and he's orange, so he's obviously have
a. He's red.
What? Is he red or orange? It looks orange.
It's a reddish orange. It so he's according to the
obviously he's a power up of something.
Well, no, he's the flame.
The flame guy. Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. It's been so long.
There he is, right there.
There he is. Yep, I see him.
It says 1 of 20.
1 of 20.
Oh, there's 20 of these guys. All right.
Gee, by the time... Yeah, you probably have to buy 80 of them in order to get all 20.
That's right. If it's totally random.
This is Star Trek loot pin.
Ooh, well, there you go.
Long and prosper. And
there's a pin in every box, and you go to loot crate / pins, and it will give you... it unlocks something epic, it says.
Oh, something epic. Do they do pin trading? They have, like, loot crate pin trading clubs.
Sure they do.
I'm sure they do.
I mean, that'd be interesting.
Here's a blister pack, it looks like. A Star Trek The Next Generation with the Enterprise on the cover. It's black, and it has loot crate exclusive written on it. Ooh. And it is shiny... Gold.
It's so shiny, I can't see what it is.
It's like a plaque. It's like a USS Enterprise.
Wait. Is it the?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Is it the first contact plaque, or is it the actual plaque from the USS Enterprise?
It looks like a plaque, which is also a sticker, and it's gold foil. It says USS Enterprise Galaxy Class Starfleet Registry NCC-1701D, the fifth starship to bear the name Launch. Blah blah blah, and it has the command.
Blah blah blah.
That's the copy of the plaque that's on the bridge.
Yes. And it's a sticker.
Cool.
tool.
Although you only see it like once or twice because they never change put the camera in that direction. And or was it in his office? Oh goodness gracious! Now I'm gonna have to
always have a catalog.
Yeah, of course. Their little thing.
Everything it talks about everything you get, and it's got a Rick and Morty coloring page.
Nice.
Oh, there you go.
And the last but not least.
What do you get?
Issue number one
of
Valiant Comics 4001 AD.
Interesting.
Interesting.
It is stars this guy. What's his name?
Is that Valiant Lobo? Comic
guy character. Guy with a samurai sword.
Oh, sorry.
No, I know, and he's got the red dot on his forehead.
I don't know.
All I saw was a muscly guy that was pale and with black hair, and then I was like, "Is that Lobo?" And then I was like, "Oh wait, no, that's not it."
I don't know.
Forget him.
I don't know Valiant Comics. So
I'm not very familiar, but that's like Valiant Comics, like one of the most common characters that I've seen.
Well, there you go.
Valiant Comics.
Classic geek exclusive unboxing of Loot Crate this month's Loot Crate.
Yeah.
Anything else, my friend?
Continually making Wookie parts as a side thing now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people to make masks for.
Oh, wow. Well, so, do you have to have that done by, like, Dragon Con or anything?
Only one of them, thank goodness.
So that one comes first, then.
Yes.
Talking about Dragon Con, how are your own projects coming along for the
On hold. With the new job, wow. And the new orders, like, and then moving.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. In 2 weeks. Ryan will be moving again, people.
Yes, but
I think this is your third or fourth move while we've recorded this podcast.
Probably. Yeah. This will be our forever home.
Yay!
This is the big expensive homestead that we bought. It's 6.5 acres, and it's got a barn and a horse.
Yeah.
Already, it comes with it. The barn and the horse comes with it.
That's
so
right.
Now I have to figure out
how to
take care of a horse.
That's right.
Yeah.
hopefully your veterinarian wife will be able to know how to do that.
See, the interesting thing about it is she knows a lot because she studied equine. That was her specialty when she was going through her residency program.
Yeah.
But she decided not to go into equine medicine because the lifestyle wasn't it was too
much on the road.
Demanding. Too much demanding for of personal time. She just wanted to have a simple job where she could punch in and then punch out.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
So that's what she does. So in theory, I know what to do.
She'll.
I've read the books. I've listened to my wife. I've watched her do stuff.
There you go.
I've even had to deal with a horse that had a bloody nose.
Nice.
That's nasty. It looks like a horror film.
Well, it's.
Sweet. Yeah.
That's awesome. So. Well, we're excited for you. That'll be a nice new adventure for you, and you'll be able to do lots of fun things with all that land.
Land!
Like, pick up manure.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Michael, what'd you do, geeky, these last couple weeks?
So, I have been I've finished a quiver and armor for my son.
Nice.
So I finally got it fitted and everything today, actually. I was like, gotta get it done because we're going camping this weekend for Mythic Realms. It's the big weekender this weekend. And so this guy.
The one bouncing on the bouncy ball.
Yeah.
The half-naked one.
It's really hot in our house. Our air conditioning broke today, got it fixed. But the house had 9 hours to warm up, and now it's going to take 9 hours to cool
down,
it back down.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing. So, at my work, their air conditioning doesn't work either.
Oh, that's rough.
So is
in Atlanta of all places.
Yes. Yeah. The good news that today is that it rained, so it cooled down a little.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was like 100 degrees today outside, and it was 90 in the house.
Awesome.
See, it's so nice to, you can say it's 100 degrees, but it's got like,
well,
30%
yeah, it was
humidity.
It was only 18% humidity.
Okay.
Ryan deals with the 90% humidity.
100 degrees here. Well, technically it was only 96, but
yeah,
it was like 90% humidity.
It felt like, right?
I remember.
It's 99 degrees, but only 11% humidity.
Okay. I remember being in Houston. The hottest day I was there, I remember it was like 107 outside with 90% humidity. That was an awful day.
Nice.
Awful.
Well, here, while you guys are talking weather, I'm going to grab some stuff that I got that I want to show off too.
Oh, okay.
Because I got some stuff. I am good at my job. Oh. And so I
am good at my job.
Well, it's like I think I do pretty good for myself. And so, you know, when you are a good performer at your job has a tendency to give you extra money.
Yeah.
And so for my birthday purchased some new LARP costuming. But it's high quality stuff from a company called Ravenswood Leather.
Oh yeah.
Based out of Oregon, and they make, in my opinion, some of the best quality gear, and every piece is custom made to order. And so I needed a new quiver for my character because my old quiver became lances. My son.
There you go.
And so I made the new straps and everything for his quiver so he can strap it on, but I needed a new quiver. So let me grab it real fast.
All right, go for it. So I might as well talk about some stuff while he's grabbing that. So I don't want to talk about one of the things yet that I've been doing a lot of, because we'll talk about that in the news. But I have been reading a really cool book called The Screaming Staircase, which is it's kind of like a teen novel ghost hunting book. And it's really good. I really enjoy it. And, my wife read it with me as well. And I'm almost done with it. And we have the second book, so we'll be diving into that. So that's pretty cool. And then of course, you know, I've been, playing as much as Overwatch as I possibly can. So.
Of course.
All right, Michael's back. You can hear him.
Yeah, I had the clinking noise.
He's lugging. How much does the thing weigh?
So this is mine.
You know what it looks like? It looks like an artificial leg.
It kind of does.
So what's nice is it's well padded. You can kind of see that it has, it's hard to see, but it's actually
fur or something.
Yeah, it's fur lined. And the fur lining is about 6 inches deep into the quiver. So you can stick your whole hand in and it's pretty nice. But one thing that was very cool with Raven's Wood Leather is I told them, you know, this is designed specifically for real archery. And I said, well, I plan on using it for LARPing. And interesting thing about LARP arrows is the heads are really large. So you can't go traditional
padding,
you know, tip down. So unless you have this giant bag that you carry around to pull everything fletching first, you put it fletching down. So all the, you know, padded arrows are up here.
Yeah.
Make it hard to shoot fast.
Yeah. And it does. You get better at it, but it's not as fast as traditional archery, admittedly. Spoke with them on the phone and I said, hey, this is what I'm using it for. And these are the arrows I'm using. And so I told them about the company that I get my arrows from, which is Calamasil Armories. And they said, okay. Well, we'll just, you know, they said, you're going to be carrying about 10 arrows. Okay. Well, great. And so what they did is they actually made it wider. So you can see how wide it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because of that, I can fit 10 arrows fletching down without squeezing the fletching on the arrows in the quiver. And I'm like, you guys are amazing.
That's cool.
Because that was always a big thing where,
yes, the fletching I get is rubber fletching on purpose for durability, but it would squish it all together, these little quivers. And so there's this, and then it has a strap package that you slide it in, and you now have the quiver in. Well, actually, that would be for the left side if I flip it around.
Does it go on your back or on your leg?
It actually goes on my hip. Yeah. So when it straps, and so this is if it was going around a belt loop, but it also has these awesome clips as well. Uh-huh. And those clips are for what they call the warrior belt, which is this bad boy.
Ooh.
And so
that's a
kind of girdle. See how it's it's a girdle.
It's a belt of mighty strength plus eight.
It's a belt of giant strength.
Giant strength.
So I splurged and got the nickel shadowed belt loops, and this is what they call the elite version, where the middle loop can be used to put your traditional belt strap pouches and other things on, and then it has all those hooks across the bottom, so you can hook on all of your accessories, such as bags.
Cool.
That's a bag. It's very elvish.
Yes. Well, I play an elf character.
Wow.
Surprise!
These are all the buckles. But this is a 6-inch, what they call a 6-inch warrior elite belt for a 38-inch waist. Now, the waist isn't like, it's not, it's, the 38-inch waist is not your pants waist. It's the section around where the girdle would sit, which is really more like at your belly button level. That's so there you go, everybody. Everybody knows waist. Now knows what my natural waist is, 38 inches. There you go, everybody.
That's right.
I'm fat.
No, you're skinnier than I am.
Yeah. So
I'm a foot taller than you. So
it's true. It's true. You're much taller. I went ahead and
you're more than a foot taller than him.
That was my birthday gift to myself. With those items.
It's my birthday present to me.
Very nice.
I'm so happy.
Well, it's the last birthday present he'll be getting for himself. All the other stuff will be going towards the baby now.
The baby. That decided 3 weeks early. So.
Yeah,
so,
surprise.
Right.
Poof. Anything else you've been doing?
So, I've been watching some really cool.
Bark. Wake up the baby!
Actually, interestingly enough, the baby doesn't even flinch with the dogs barking.
Oh, that's nice.
The dogs are like, and the baby's like, whatever.
That's good. Train him while he's young.
But no, I've been watching. Yeah, train him while he's young. But
can't hear you, Ryan.
I think you're muted.
Oh, sorry. I was gonna say your kid hears that in the womb anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's been every time the door knocks and the dogs are like, burk, 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 you know, what's interesting is one of our dogs is like, what is this? Sniff, sniff. Oh, I know what that is. It's been around the house for 9 months anyway, you know, plop, sits back down. And the other dog is just like,
it smells like owners.
Yeah. Yeah. The other dog is like,
an extra desitin smell.
Yeah. It's just weird because one is a hound and the other one's the chihuahua. The chihuahua is like, always like super sniff and like really curious and always wants to know where it is. And then the hound is just like, there it is, plop, you know, and wants to
from across the room.
That's right.
Exactly. And you know, it's like the hound wants to sleep next to the bassinet where the chihuahua is just like in the other room with our other son. So it's interesting the dynamics in breeds. Anyway, that was completely segue into anime. I've been watching ReZero. I know, right? I don't know how that works. But I've been watching a show called ReZero, which is...
ReZero.
It's called ReZero.
Okay, I thought you said 3-0 at
first. Yeah, it's like R-E-0. Right. And it's about this neat, or this otaku, who is a huge RPG-er, gets pulled into an alternate fantasy world. Sounds familiar, right? You're like, oh,
what?
I've seen this one before. But that's like the first 10 minutes of the show. But after that, it has nothing to do with what the show is about. And essentially this character, if he dies, he resets with it, you know, he dies and then goes back to a specific starting point, almost like a save point. And you don't know what that point is going to be. You know, if you pass the point where you had normally died, he doesn't know, like, if he dies again, is he going to go back all the way to the beginning or not? And what's weird is the first few episodes, he's just dying all the time because he just doesn't get the new world. He's getting into trouble. He's, you know, criminals are stabbing him in the alleyways because he's stupid, and, you know, and so, you know, and so it, and he keeps resetting. And throughout the entire show, as he starts, you know, learning the world and getting friends and so forth, you slowly see his sanity, like, start to chip away, because he knows what's going to happen in the future because he's experienced it, but has not figured out how to avoid certain downfalls or windfalls.
Yeah.
And so to everyone else, he looks like a crazed madman, but he himself doesn't realize it. And so everyone's getting to the point where they just ignore him now. And then he ends up trying to go off and do something by himself and ends up dying only to reset the process again. And so it's really horrible to see this character go through this downward spiral that he has complete control over. But at the same time, because of remembering what it's like to die in so many different ways, but then come back, it's Groundhog's Day, but with a twisted, you know, evil feel to it. You know,
nice.
So I've been really, really surprised with it. I was expecting this very happy show, and it started out that way, and it's just getting darker and darker and darker. Another show I was watching is the new Macross Delta Force, Macross D, or Macross Delta,
okay,
which is the new Macross show. And what I love about the Macross series, as opposed to what a lot of Americans think of as Robotech, is it is a continuing canon of story. And so this is, Macross D takes place 8 years after Macross Frontier, which was the last series that came out. And it's really cool to see just how the technology, you know, progresses a little bit, but it's a different story with different characters, but in the same universe, because once again, humanity spread out from Earth. And so they're completely on a different side of the universe from where, say, you know, Hikaru, you know, or Rick Hunter, Hikaru is, you know, in the SDF-3 and stuff like that. So it's, you know, the original Macross and stuff like that. So it's really interesting to see these different stories play out in different timelines. But Macross Delta, I like it because it's Macross, but at the same time, it's getting, it's a little bit too much Lolita J-pop.
Too much Min Mei and not enough Rick Hunter.
That's right.
There you go. There you go.
That's,
you
know, right.
That's a way to put
sit
it.
Sit down, Min Mei. No one likes you.
I don't mind, you know, music and everything is part of what Macross is. That's the expectation, sure, of this, you know, kind of space opera type of feel. But it, in Delta, it's more of a main story mainstay. It's the music is the conflict. And so it reminds me of Macross 2, the movie, which was, in my opinion, really horrible, but is still considered canon in the Macross world, by, you know, so Anyway.
Moving
all,
on.
All in all. Yeah, all in all, 3-0. Go watch it. Macross D, only if you're a Macross fan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because, it sounds like I'll skip that.
Yeah.
I can barely stand Min Mei.
Oh man.
Well, Min Mei, admittedly, in the original series, was not the best character. However, in the movie, Do You Believe in Love, the Macross movie, her character is much better in the film versus the TV series. Okay. So, plus the animation is so much better and everything. So I would recommend if people love Macross, instead of watching the whole 26 episodes of the first Macross, just watch the movie that came out in 84, I think. So anyway,
okay.
I'm
done for the week. All right. So we kind of talked.
As you were saying.
We kind of briefly talked about what I was doing while Mike was grabbing his spiffy leather stuff. So I, read the book. Of course, been playing a lot of Overwatch whenever I get the opportunity to do that. It's still super fun, guys. They actually released a new character this week, a new support character. And it's a really interesting type of support character. The character's...
Is that Anna, sniping healer?
Yeah, Anna. Yeah, Anna, whatever. But she's a sniper, but how she works is to heal you, she shoots you. And so you could be across, you could be across the map.
It shoots you with like adrenaline or something.
Yeah. but the great thing about it is that she can still shoot and damage the enemy team, and it's still the same button. So you don't have to like switch all crazy stuff. So you just shoot, and you don't have to, be zoomed in to shoot either. You can just no scope it and get real close and shoot people.
It's like healing for noobs.
Lucio's healing for noobs because that's an area of effect healing where you just turn it on and you just run around and you're healing.
What it reminds me of is it reminds me of, Dungeons and Dragons Second Edition had arrows of cure light wounds, arrows of cure moderate wounds, and arrows of cure critical wounds. And if you had an archer with all those arrows, you'd be like, "I am the healer," shooting all your friends with arrows for cure wounds.
Yeah, but it's she's actually kind of a really cool character. She also has this grenade that she can throw on the ground that it gives you a small area of effect of healing, but it also stops any healing that the opponents can do, so their healers can't heal them, they can't heal themselves, and they can't also pick up health packs while this effect is going.
That could be really cool. You could throw it into a big melee fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would benefit your guys and hurt the enemy.
It's really cool. And then one of her other abilities is she shoots a sleep dart. And if she hits you, you are asleep on the ground for 6 seconds. That's huge.
That's long.
But
6 seconds.
But if you get damaged, you wake up instantly. So
yeah, but can't people just go up and kill you?
Well, people, yeah.
Or do they have to kill?
A lot of times, you can go up and just damage them real fast.
World Warcraft polymorph spell. Your polymorph for. It starts out at 6 seconds, but you add resistances, so it ends up only. I mean, it starts out at 10, but with resistances, it's more like 6 seconds. But if you do get hit, you're popped out instantly.
Yeah, so
it makes sense. They're kind of following.
It's not an insta kill.
No.
Even though you're asleep, it's not like they can go up and go coup de grace.
No, they still have to do your full health of damage if you're at full health. They can't just unless they shoot you in the head a couple times and you die really fast that way. But it's really cool. And her ultimate ability is she shoots a dart at a friendly teammate and makes you into like a super soldier for I think like 6 seconds, where you're quicker, you hit harder, and you're healing for that time frame. So she shoots someone with that, especially like a tank or something like that. Goes in and just boom, 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 hits really hard. Or, some of the DPS characters that they just go in there and they just, you know, do a lot of damage really fast for a few seconds. And
she sounds pretty cool. Why?
She is really cool. A lot of people are really happy with that. And the game needed more support characters because the game currently has six, you know, DPS or offensive characters, six defensive players, only five tanks, and it only had four support characters. But with Ana, you have a fifth support character. So I think they're going to, you know, the next character, they'll probably either do another support or a tank to kind of, you know, give the tanks their sixth character and then the support to give their sixth character. So each category will have six options. So that will, and she was really cool. And I haven't played her yet, because I really, really stink at sniping, but I think I might try. I think I might just try her to go in and do the no scope shooting. Just go up next to people and be like, bang, there, I healed you. But, I still, my main character and my favorite character that I still play is Reinhardt. He's the big tank with a big, huge hammer. Looks like a big knight. And I just love running in and wrecking and making havoc. So, the other thing that I have been doing a lot of this week, actually ties into some of our stories. So I'll just kind of wait to talk about it. And we'll just go into the next segment of our show.
The Weekly Geek.
This is the Weekly Geek, where we talk about geeky news that happened throughout the week, and there's some things that happened. A lot of gaming news. Next week will be full, or I should say in 2 weeks when we record the podcast, we'll probably do a lot of San Diego Comic-Con news, because that actually started today. Today was day one of San Diego Comic-Con. That'll be going on all weekend long. So that'll be kind of fun to see what comes out of that. But the number one story that is still going on, even, you know, now, is still Pokemon Go. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about it before, like, in depth, but we've all had a chance to play it now, and that's actually the other thing that has been taking my other amount of time. It's been a lot of fun. I get to go out with the kids. I've gone hunting by myself and all that stuff. And it's lots of fun. I really enjoy it. The game is super simplistic in what it is. It's just you pull up your phone that has a Google map basically on it that has the skin over the map, and you go around hunting Pokemon, and then when you find them, you catch them, you can evolve them, and go to Pokestops and get stuff, go to gyms and battle people. I haven't been to a gym.
And if you don't know all this already, where have you been?
That's right. You have not been on the internet, or even the news. It's everywhere. It's insane. But, you know, people know a lot about that, but there's things that people may not know about Pokemon Go, which are some of the, like, the statistics and things that came out with Pokemon Go. Nintendo has, their stocks just went crazy after Pokemon Go came out, where they increased dramatically, and their net worth was increased by over $9 billion, and now they, and since this, the last 2 weeks that Pokemon Go has been around, they are now worth more than Sony, which was a really big deal to have Nintendo surpass Sony within the stock market. And everyone's like, if Nintendo keeps doing games like this, you know, they're gonna do something, you know, keep on doing awesome things. So Nintendo had great success with the launch of Pokemon Go for themselves. And not only were their stocks skyrocketed, but within the first week, so the first week of the game, they made over $14 million. So that's $2 million a day that they were making, essentially, for a free game. That's just in microtransactions. So over $14 million in microtransactions in the first week, and they've been consistently on that schedule for this second week, where they're making, I think they estimated that they're currently, right now in their second week, they're making like $1.3 million a day in microtransactions. And it's it's just mind-blowing to see the success. And it's not even worldwide yet. It originally launched in the United States. Oh, Ryan just broke his chair. Good job, man. But it launched.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
That's broken. But they launched in the United States, Australia, and New Zealand initially, and now they're in Germany, and they're going to be launching in Japan soon.
Remind me, when did Pokemon Go launch?
Like 2 weeks.
Well, Japan's Pokemon Go service launched today.
Yes.
Okay. Did you see my chair break in half?
We sure did. We saw your chair break in half. Yes. We commented that. On that. Yeah.
Okay.
But
So Pokemon Go went live in Japan today.
Yes.
And then of course it's been live in the United States for about 3 weeks.
Two weeks,
already has all the Pokemons.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's only 133. Come on.
But you have to go. Ten are
rare that they're going to save for the big
battles. There are.
That they had.
Yeah, there are some Pokemon that you can. Reports that you can see them, but you can't catch them. So, like Mewtwo.
Let's see here.
The three legendary birds, Moltres, Articuno, and Zapdos, and then Ditto.
Some people have said that also some of them are exclusive to other countries.
And that could be possible.
So Mewtwo will be like the United States, and some of the others are only going to be in like Asia or something like that.
Yeah. So it would be interesting to see.
July 6th. Yeah, it was July 6th. It looks like, okay, because you were talking about the stocks. And so I was like, I was curious.
You said you're a stockbroker.
So I decided to pull it up. Well, because there's two ways that you can follow Nintendo's stocks. Is you have the original stock that's traded on the Japanese market, and then you have what they call the ADR, which is what's traded on like the domestic market, and that follows the foreign market. But before Pokemon Go came out, okay, their stock was at $138 a share.
Yeah.
Okay. The day Pokemon came out, it was essentially the same. It was the day after Pokemon came out, it went up to $150. Then everybody was like, what is this? And then on the 11th, it was at $224. On the 18th, it was at $299, and so it's like,
well, people,
just right there, just
yeah.
like Barry said, it's just boom.
It's just,
I mean, and even on the domestic market,
it's the largest.
It went from $17.50 a share all the way up to like $38 a share at one time.
And
it's amazing.
It's the largest
people
spike.
Are trying to get out of it.
It's the largest spike that they've seen since. Nintendo has seen since 1983, which is when the NES came out.
No, 83?
Yeah.
Oh, was that in Japan then?
No.
No comment. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway. And also, Pokemon Go has surpassed, active users past, Twitter, and they also mentioned Tinder as well. But active Twitter users, Pokemon Go passed that. That's insane. You know how many people use Twitter?
I keep wondering how long it's going to last, but everyone seems to think it's only going to get bigger.
Well, I bet you it's going to be really, really big for the first month, and then it's going to start trickling down. Maybe when they have their events to catch the legendary Pokemon, it's going to spike again, and then it's going to go down. I think that's kind of what we'll see from it. But you know what?
Honestly, I was going to say, while I enjoy playing Pokemon Go where I am on the go, because it is kind of a active moving game.
Of course.
When I'm at home or at work and are not moving around, I actually have been playing the new release of Final Fantasy Brave Exvius, which was their big online game release.
Okay.
Addicted. Holy crap, I'm addicted. It's like classic Final Fantasy with MMO concepts of online gaming. And it's completely free.
Yeah.
I mean, and people are like, oh, but there's, you could pay for extras. And I'm like,
but you don't have to.
They're not exclusives or anything. It's just like, hey, instead of going out and adventuring for a bunch of hours, here, have a package deal. We'll give you everything right now for $20.
Yeah. So, something else in Nintendo news that came out this last week, which I thought was really cool, it'd be fun to talk about it, is they announced the release of their miniature NES with 30 games on it that's coming out on November 11th. I want it.
But they say
so bad.
See, I was kind of on the fence with that until I saw the list of 30 games, and I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah.
I
well,
could
yeah,
be entertained forever.
Yeah, I know, yeah, right?
Look at all these. Metroid, I mean, Metroid alone is tons of hours.
What?
Metroid.
The Legend of Zelda 2.
Mega Man 2.
Kid Icarus.
It's insane.
The original Final Fantasy.
They have so many great games.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only.
I mean, then they have Super Mario Brothers 2, the hardest.
I'm thinking Mario Brothers game. Best for kids. Too.
Oh yeah, totally. And like that's hours and hours of gameplay, and it will be more hours of gameplay than
here, kids. Then, educate yourselves.
Well,
yeah, no,
it'll be more
exactly what Ryan said.
It'll be more hours of gameplay because these games are harder than current games.
Well, I was gonna say, you can't. There's only three games on that list that one, two, three. There's only four games on that list that have a save point.
Well, they will all have save points. That's one of the features is that you will be able to save your progressive game.
Progressive games. But I'm talking about the progressive games, those already had save points built in, such as Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda 2, Zelda 2, Legend of Zelda, the Metroid and Final Fantasy. Other than that, none of them
Kid Icarus did. It depended on the level you were on. They saved every other level or something.
In the original Kid Icarus, it didn't save it. It gave you a code to show your progress, and you would enter that code in when you started again.
Right, so the only game that I wish was on there that's not on there is Blaster Master. I loved that game.
I was going to say Blaster Master was not on there, and what's the other one? Let me see.
And you know what game I played a lot of as well was the original ice hockey game. I loved that game.
We played that all the time. Where you could take the fat guys and the skinny guys.
That came with it, right?
I'm not sure, but we had it. And I played that so much. That's probably the best hockey game I've ever played.
It's
much fun.
You'd win all the time because
you can make the guys either fat or skinny, they can be fast or hit hard or whatever.
Or the medium guy.
Yeah. We lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
But I remember, and you could fight and stuff, and you get carried off to the penalty box, and
Anyway, I'm just thinking Christmas present.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I know my kids are up the generation that they'll play it and go, it's so hard. I'm gonna play my
hard
game.
Yeah.
Dad. I'm like, no, you're not. Not until you get to level shots and shots on Zelda, you cannot play any other.
That's
game.
Right. Yeah, what
you. You prove have to me you are worthy of video games.
Yeah. Until you get your seventh heart, don't talk to me.
Well, it's like you have to figure this out by yourself? What? There's not even...
What about Metroid? Think about all the hidden levels in Metroid to get everything.
Well, in Legend of Zelda, how you had to find certain caves, you had to go up, up, left, and back right, then back left, then up. It was
oh,
weird.
Oh, yeah, tell him locking because of the hidden areas.
The interesting thing about that is that those kind of things would be talked about in the magazines that came out monthly.
Yeah.
Nintendo
Absolutely. Power so magazine.
We would oh, be yeah. like in the dark for 30 days until the magazine came out, or we had figured it out our own.
Yeah. See, so my question. For,
you know, there's no instant, let's go to YouTube and see how somebody did it.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you there are still YouTube videos about even
I'm sure there
original
is now. We're
Nintendo.
Just talking about then.
That's true.
We're talking about it, yeah.
Back in the day.
We're talking about man, yeah.
when the internet did not exist as far as we knew.
That's right. But, you know, I'm going to get it. It's going to be awesome. And it makes me, I don't know if it's in the plans, but it would be awesome if they did the same thing, but for the Super Nintendo, where they typed like the top 30 Super Nintendo games and put them on there. So you'd have like Chrono Trigger, probably Super Metroid, Yoshi's Island, Secret of
Mana. I don't know if there's
Mana.
Enough nostalgia for that yet.
There's probably not, but it would still be cool.
Sure. I mean,
well, isn't it part of the 30-year anniversary, though?
Well,
this?
I have no idea, but if I just know that if this does well, there's going to be more to follow.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Either another NES.
You can
which
play all of these things on your computer emulator.
Not,
but it's not the same not, as having the little the controller
one,
that kills your thumb.
One, it's not the same, and two, that's could be sketchy.
You know what, though?
It is true.
They will never understand the idea of having to blow into that darn cartridge
that's right.
to make work. Because the box hooks up via HDMI cable.
Wiggling the cartridge while it's inside.
Just to get the
adjusted.
Line up. Right, yeah, yeah.
Pushing it up, pushing it down, it. Pulling it out, putting, you know, there's a pattern to all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, so it's super awesome. Going to definitely purchase that.
I'm probably going to get it just so I can play Kid Icarus.
Yeah, I wanted to
play
all the games.
That was probably the hardest
game
I ever played.
Yeah, so
I never did pass it. I got pretty far, but I never passed it.
I'm actually surprised Contra and Ikari Warriors. Oh. I wonder if they couldn't get the
original Contra is not on there.
Contra would have been so awesome.
There's Super Contras on there, like.
Up, down, down, left, right. That was the con.
Well, no, it was originally. Originally with Gradius.
Ikari Warriors.
The first game to use the Konami code.
On the list, though.
Well, it is, okay. but that was
because
the very first game to use.
That I knew was Contra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was used on Gradius, which is on the list.
It is.
I was expecting,
which is a fun game.
You know, Contra.
Although,
anyway.
Of the Gradius games, I liked Life Force the best, but
Life Force, yeah.
I'll play the original
awesome.
Gradius as well. But some other cool news that came out, of course, you know, we talked video games, but let's talk a little bit about TV. Star Wars Rebels, the cartoon series.
Iron Fist.
Oh,
yeah.
Cage.
You want to talk about that first?
Okay, well, I'm just going to say, we're going to. This is a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive coming to you from the Closet Geek.
Oh, okay.
Marvel's Iron Fist.
Yes.
Be picked up as a series for Netflix, and they showed the preview trailer today.
Nice.
For San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm.
And Luke Cage, Marvel's Luke Cage, who premiered in Jessica Jones.
Yep.
Will also get his own series.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean,
all right. That's all I got.
No, that's cool. We kind of
That's what we were hoping for. Yeah. That's what we were hoping for, but it didn't. We weren't. It wasn't official.
It was coming. But yeah. No, that'd be cool to see the trailers for those. But Star Wars Rebels, the trailer for season 3, just came out, and a character that was much beloved by a lot of people, that was in the old canon because he was in a book, but was erased from canon when that series was taken away. But now he's being put into the canon because Star Wars Rebels part of it. And that's
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yes.
I wonder how they're going to adjust or change him for the official canon, if at all.
I don't know.
I don't think they need to.
I don't think they need to, but I thought that was really cool, and it kind of opens up the door to all these people that were complaining about all that stuff being thrown to the side, be like, hey guys, we're probably going to take some of the best things or best characters that you loved and eventually bring them to the canon. So, yeah, awesome. And the trailer was really, really good. So, love
it. I don't know. The only problem I have is that I'm not really... Ezra kind of has that kind of awkward teenager look to him.
Yeah.
He's really, you know... I understand where they're going. You know, he's growing up, and he's going to look a little bit different. You know,
I didn't like his hairstyle.
And it was just kind of like, if you guys are going for the dorky, awkward teenager, you've nailed it.
Nailed it.
But how can we actually take him serious as like a a leader of the
rebellion? Jedi. Yeah, and the Jedi. So it'll be interesting to see the continual relationship / interaction that he has with Darth Maul.
However, the animation has stepped it up a notch.
Yeah.
The amazing, like, particle graphics, what do they call that? Particle acceleration graphics?
I don't know. Like,
what do they call that? Anyway.
I'm not a graphics
designer. They have improved it, and they improved the action of the characters. So it's all going to be, it's going to look the same, but it's going to have a little bit of a different adjustment to it to make it more seamless and flowing.
Yeah,
nice. You know, really quick, going back to the, when you kept saying the word canon, I actually had to explain to Lance this week what canon was.
That means?
Why do they keep saying canon? And I was like, wow, okay. Because he loves to watch a YouTuber called Matt Pat. And he does a series called The Game Theory. And all these episodes will go through all these, you know, theories of games and so forth. And he talks about canon a lot because it's the strict story or something of that nature. And finally, he broke down and he was like, what are they talking about?
I don't even
about?
Know what that means.
Because he's like, he's thinking canon as in bang.
Yeah, like bang, boom, you know?
Yeah, like boom, canon. And so I had to explain to him what it means versus, you know,
that's why
you know,
the English
what's not
language
canon
is
and what
messed
is
up.
Canon. And he's like, oh, and there was like this light bulb above his head. It was awesome. So it just goes to show that even though it's a word or phrase that's used a lot, even though he'd been hearing that verbiage for like 30 episodes, he had no idea what the real purpose of it was.
Yeah.
So he was always confused.
So quick interjection. Mr. Lard is in the chat room and he said hi. Hello, Mr. Lard.
Hey, hello to all six of you.
And he said he's digging the headband, Mike. He's digging the headband.
That's what happens. You know, I will be honest, I am a forehead sweater.
If you've been watching the video, I've been doing this the whole time because
I know.
Planted.
Well, I think it's a maybe it's a Rick's thing. So all the boys, I don't know. But I could put a headband on and I look like I'm hardly working. But then as soon as I take it off, like it's just like,
I'm
gonna like
start
a
wearing a headband, man.
See, it's not.
When I do housework or something like that, I have to wear a headband or else it's just like.
Where my computer.
Drippy.
Where my
like,
computer
nothing
is
here.
Set up. Yeah. Where my computer is set up is actually right under where the air blows from the air conditioning. Cause, so it's always cold. Like when I'm like playing Overwatch for a while, I'm like, I'll like take this, this Pokemon blanket and put it over my shoulders and be like, brr, while I'm playing games. And so,
I've got that giant fan going, and it's still freaking hot here.
Yeah.
So
I honestly am not sure if the air conditioning will ever make this house cool down to where it should be.
Ever again.
Ever again.
Yeah. It does look good. Is it black?
Yeah, it's black and the paisley.
What should I go? Black or what?
I have red. A whole array
I'm
of
go pink.
Bandanas.
Woo!
No, I don't have a pink one, but I have white, red, blue, yellow.
I have a red and black
one. Orange.
Well, like I was telling Barry earlier in the podcast when you ducked out, there's no air conditioning at my work either. I mean, the front office has air conditioning, but I work in a warehouse.
Right.
And there's no
Yay.
Air conditioning in the warehouse.
Balmy.
And so it's like hot. And so we've got giant fans blowing us and stuff, but sometimes you can't use the fan. Like if you're working on fiberglass, if you have a big fan, it blows all your fiberglass everywhere.
Yeah.
Or if you're working with like tiny little pieces.
Oh, yeah.
You can't use a fan because it'll blow it everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it's really hot. So I should invest in the headband.
There you go.
You know, they're a dollar at Walmart.
Well, you know what? They have
like this. You know, and I'm leaning over stuff that you know, like fiberglass, if you get water on it, it kind of has a bad reaction. And I'm like trying not to sweat on my work. I'm like, I'm like, oh, like this. Because I've got gooey hands. I've got a respirator like this, you know, and so I can't do anything. I can rub my forearms, but my forearms are sweaty, so I'm just like, working. It's really nasty.
Well, but what you need
this
to,
is Atlanta,
there you
people.
Go. There you
what
go.
You need to get is the headbands that have like that gel in it, so that you can where you keeps it cold.
What I do have, so I forgot about it. I have a headband. Where it's just a wicking headband, but it's got this tiny piece of silicone in it. So when the sweat comes down, it hits that silicone and it drips to the sides of your head, so you never get it in your eyes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I just invested in some cooling towels. They're like 8 inches by 36 inches almost, and you get them wet, wring them out, and snap it. And put it around your neck, and it's just, it goes on the back of your neck or around
Maybe
your shoulders.
Just move to Alaska.
Okay.
No.
Their servers are always cool.
Their internet service is awful, I'm sure.
I was just talking to Tyler.
I don't know.
My brother. And he's like, yeah, this summer's been very cool. We don't want to go swimming in the river because it's a little cold. I'm like, you dorks.
I know, right?
Do you know how hot the river is here?
I know. Well, it does.
I now have a river going through my property.
Nice. A river runs through it?
Now, the question is, Ryan, is it a river or is it like a little creek?
It's a creek.
It's a creek.
Okay. Because the reason I ask is because you live in Georgia, and when you say river, that means it's got to be at least a couple hundred meters across, right? That's a river.
No, it's a little creek, I think, at its widest. Well, it's the Alcove River.
Okay.
But it starts off huge because it divides off the Okochiki River or something like that. But by the time it gets to my property, it's like almost gone. So it's like maybe at its widest, it's 10 feet.
Oh, okay. Hey, that's, you know, honestly, in Utah, that's a creek. In Utah, the largest river we have is the Colorado, and it's still only 100 meters at its widest. So it's like, come on.
Well, enough about geography. How about we go to the next segment of the show, which is Geeky Trivia!
Woo!
All right. And Mike is in charge of Geeky Trivia tonight!
Oh no.
My body is ready.
I'm ready.
So I decided, because of just some fun conversations I've had recently, I'm going to do trivia on 80s and 90s fantasy films.
Woo!
And this is the trivia that Michael always wins.
That's right.
Yeah, so this
so he's
is,
giving
this
it
is,
to
Yeah, so this is anything that's considered fantasy-based.
Okay.
So just be aware of that.
Are animated movies included in this?
Yes, it's any films films that are released during those periods of time.
Sure.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you either a plot description or general description, depending on the popularity of the film.
Okay.
Mm.
And then you will have to tell me the title of the film.
Okay. Mm.
So we'll start off with this one. A daughter of Zeus, a muse, is awakened by the artistic
Clash of the Titans.
Passion of a 1980s man. No. After falling in love, the muse takes all the dreams of the man and makes them come true. This was later made into a Broadway musical. By the same name.
The daughter of
Xanadu?
Xanadu!
Yes, Brian,
yes,
Xanadu.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. And some of these are, like, really B-movie.
Good job,
so
man.
Just be aware of that. So,
point!
So,
Ryan!
Nice. Ryan.
Woo!
Ding! All right. Okay. Here we go. So, Ranulf convinces Hawk to rescue the...
Hawkeye. Lady Hawk. Lady.
No. After a long and dangerous journey, Hawk locates his old friends, Gort, a dour giant who wields a mighty mallet, Crow, an elf of few words who wields a deadly bow,
and
Baldin, a wisecracking dwarf.
One of the guys that shot arrows like... What movie was that?
All to defeat Hawk's evil brother... Voltan.
Yeah.
Ryan, you are talking about the film, but what is it called? It came out in 1980.
This is so cheesy, but I loved it.
It's super cheesy. It is like the ultimate horrible British fantasy film. Simon Pegg loves this film.
I don't know.
Hawk the Slayer.
I love how both Ryan and I, like, when you said Hawk, we're like, Lady Hawk!
There's going to be a Lady Hawk question in here, so we got to We both love that film. So
here you go. A 6th century post-Roman kingdom called Urland is being terrorized by a 400-year-old dragon named Vermithrax.
Dragon Slayer. Jethra.
Yes, Barry, Dragon Slayer.
I didn't know that they had a name.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie, by the way.
Yeah, that's
cool. A good one.
All right.
I had forgotten that part.
Here's an easy one. This film is named for one of the main pieces in the film, a sword.
Excalibur.
If that hasn't... Yes, Barry.
Excalibur.
I was going to say, if this hasn't tipped you off, then how about Arthur and Merlin? So, yeah. The plot line is too obvious to give a general description.
Yeah.
All right. In the kingdom of Arik... The high priest Mayax is given a prophecy by his witches that he would die facing the son of King Zed.
Beast Slayer.
Yes.
Nice.
Brian. Beastmaster.
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 I knew what you were,
Kodo and Podo.
That's right. Kodo and Podo. The
ferret.
Yeah, the ferret.
Yes. In an enchanted forest, a talking unicorn learns she is the very last
unicorn.
Last unicorn.
Ooh, that was such a tie. I'm going to give it to both of you.
Right.
Good job.
That's an awful movie.
No, it's a great movie. No, what's wrong with you?
Have you watched it recently? I've watched it recently.
I've watched it.
Okay,
I have it on DVD.
Years ago. That's recent.
Or maybe Blu-ray. Okay. It's great. It has one of the best opening theme songs by American.
The last unicorn. I'm alive.
Exactly. All right.
You're just too young to appreciate it.
Yeah, you're just too young. Okay, 1,000 years have passed since the 7 days of fire, an apocalyptic war that destroyed civilization and created the vast toxic jungle, a poisonous forest swarming with giant mutant insects. In the kingdom of the
Nazca.
Valley of the Wind. Yes, Ryan, Nazca.
Yes. I'm like, this sounds familiar.
Or the Valley of the Wind. Would you have taken that?
Yeah, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind is the full title.
We grew up with knowing it as the Valley of the Wind.
Yes, before they actually released the full movie.
King Acrisius of Argos imprisons his daughter, Dione.
Clash of the Titans.
Yes, Ryan, Clash of the Titans.
Good job, man.
Yeah, so... Give me just 2 seconds.
No, I think you're ahead.
Ryan is up 5-3.
Ooh.
So give me just a second here. I need to pull up my
switch. Gonna
come back. Coming down. Oh my gosh. Okay. I can do this.
So here we go.
That little baby.
Little baby.
Just sleeping.
So yeah. Randall, Randall Peitzer, a struggling inventor, visits a Chinatown antique store in the hope of finding a Christmas present for his son Billy.
The gremlins.
Yes, very gremlins.
Yeah, that's right.
Good, nice. I was
way off.
Well, I try not to make it too obvious, so I'm just basically making a whole description of plot. So, all right. Here we go. And I'm just going through my list here. All right. Sam Lowry is a low-level government employee who frequently daydreams of saving a damsel in distress. When a fly gets jammed in a printer and the results in an incarceration and accidental death during interrogation of Cobbler Archibald Booty, instead of renegade air conditioning specialist and suspected terrorist Archibald Tuttle, Sam is assigned the task of rectifying the error. Yeah. Visiting Buttle's widow, Sam encounters their neighbor, Jill Layton, and is astonished to see that she resembles a woman of his reoccurring dreams. Jill is trying to help Miss Buttle determine what happened to her husband, but her efforts are obstructed by bureaucracy.
Wow.
It is directed by Terry Gilliam.
Is it Time Bandits?
No.
What? Baron Munchausen?
No.
Ooh,
Brazil.
Oh, duh, yeah. If you would have said the doctor's wearing baby face masks.
There you go. That's true, yeah. Ooh, here's one that drove me to nightmares, I swear. All right. In October 1899, 6 months after returning home, Dorothy Gale is melancholic.
Wizard of
her
Oz?
Aunt Em and Uncle Henry take her to Dr. Worley, known as the electrotherapy treatment.
Return to Oz.
Ooh. Return to Oz, Ryan. That show freaked me out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why, but that's a good one. All right. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. Some of these are just too easy. It's not fair.
Do it.
Let's see here.
Do the easy ones.
Yeah, do the easy ones. All right, let me pull this up right here. Thank you. All right. Eric learns from the wise woman Freya that Fenrir the wolf has swallowed the sun, plunging the world into an age of Ragnarok.
Eric the Viking.
Yes, Eric the Viking. Nice. Good job, Ryan. That's such a funny one with Tim Robbins.
Right. He's Eric.
Why? He thinks he's invisible.
Right, because he doesn't believe.
He's
Christian.
Yep.
He can't see the gods because he's Christian.
Ooh, let's see here. Dang it. Where was I? Okay. While the Tawani family are preparing to leave the forested moon, the village is attacked by a group of marauders.
Return to Endor!
Barry! Yes.
Wait, it was the battle for Endor?
Yeah, it was the battle for Endor. It was Ewoks, the battle for Endor. I had to skip the words Ewok and Endor.
Yeah, I know, right?
Or else, it's like Ewok.
Ryan,
Sindel. Sindel.
Yeah, right? Yes. All right.
which is interesting when you, anyway, let's see here. I loved this film. It made me laugh so much. The Ragniks, a tribe of peaceful traveling entertainers, are attacked by the evil tyrant Kardar, who takes their queen, Canary, hostage. Canary, however, manages to hide her magic ruby, the lucky talisman of the Ragniks, which Kardar seems to bolster his, which seeks to bolster his power. Two young twins from the tribe, Katkek and Gore, bite off.
Barbarians?
Yes, Ryan, barbarians.
I had no idea what that one was.
Oh my gosh.
They were some men. Two twin bodybuilders who were really famous back in the 80s. Yeah, they did a movie.
Starring Barbarian Brothers, Richard Lynch and Ava LaRue. Oh my gosh. That movie was just makes me smile.
It was pretty silly, but yeah, I like watching it too.
Yeah. All right. New York City, 1985. In an arena parking garage.
Highlander.
Yes, Ryan.
What?
Oh.
I totally got that first.
It was pretty really? Close. It was pretty.
Because I didn't hear Barry at all.
I think I probably would have. I actually heard Barry first, so.
Okay, I'm going to give it up to Ryan as the courtesy. As Barry, you know, you get the point because Ryan gave it to you.
Thanks, Ryan. All right, appreciate it.
Fun.
All right, last one.
Okay, here we go. So, well, I haven't even gotten into the 90s yet. Sorry, guys. All right, so we've just been in the 80s. Ancient Egypt. Emma Hershart hides in a pyramid from her mother, who wants her daughter to marry against her will. Emmy prays for the gods to let her out of the mess and find her true love. The gods answer, making her disappear. Philadelphia, 1987.
Is this young never-ending story?
No. Young would-be artist guess. Jonathan Switzer takes a number of odd jobs. The first job where he assembles a beautiful, perfect mannequin.
Oh, mannequin?
Portends the rest of the movie.
Is just mannequin?
Yes.
Okay.
Very mannequin.
I didn't realize that. Wow, I remember that movie, but I forgot that it was all Egyptian stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Egyptian gods granted her wish.
Oh, man.
All right. That's it for Geeky Trivia.
And Ryan wins by 1 point.
Oh, good job, man. You don't win that often, so we'll give it to you.
Maybe next time we'll do 90s, since I didn't get into the 90s.
Sounds good.
That was kind of fun.
Just save it for next time, yeah, when you do trivia. So thank you, everybody, for listening to The Closet Geek. You can find out all our information at theclosetgeek.net, and make sure you go and like our Facebook page and interact with us there. We'd love to chat with you, and we also post always some good geeky news there as well. Thanks to everyone in the chat room that joined us tonight. We really appreciate it. We are the four horsemen of geek minus John, because, you know, he's not here, but he's still here in spirit. But we are the four horsemen of geek, reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.